Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guests on this episode are Megan Kane and Dylan Turner of Parker Barrow. The pair met in 2019 and soon found they were both interested in taking their passion for music as far as possible. They married in 2023 and have continued their dedication to live performance and the band. They've been on an upward trajectory the whole time. Parker Barrow's new album, Hold the Mash, is out July 17th. Kane and Turner recently discussed the new album, their appreciation for their European fans, and how they fill the hours on those rare occasions when they find themselves in one place for more than one day or two at a time. That's Megan Kane and Dylan Turner of Parker Barrow on Into Music coming up now. When did you kind of know it was time to go in and make a new album?
You know, I don't know if we really thought about it like that. We're kind of continuously writing, you know, new music and trying to keep things fresh with the live show and have things we can rotate in and out. So I think kind of once we, you know, started to feel comfortable with some of the stuff we were writing, you know, we talked to our producer and got in, and it took us a little bit of time to record this record. Our producers, he lives in just outside of Philly, and obviously we're based in Nashville, and we're touring constantly, so getting dates scheduled in the studio and stuff was a bit challenging. So we kind of started, man, I don't even know, I guess we started, what, almost 2024, end of 2025, and, you know, whenever we had time, we'd go and record a song and come home and think about which one we wanted to do next, so... It wasn't like, oh, man, we got to get this done. It was sort of just like something we wanted to do, and we did it when we found time.
On the record itself, these songs then have been kind of tested live as well. You've performed them before audiences before recording them?
With a few of them we did. I think Blinded was the first song we actually recorded for this record, and we were playing that one out for a couple years.
Yeah.
We had... That was actually in contention for,
Blinded and Glass Eyes Crying off this record. We had written previously to finishing the first record and then sort of gave them a facelift and rearranged them a bit. And we had been playing those live for several months prior to recording this record. So those were two of the first ones that we brought into the studio on this go round. I think it does help us a little bit to play them out live, and because you find new things. Sometimes we'll take a song that we've never, you know, it's brand new. We wrote it that week and we take it to the studio, you know, and then you get into playing it live and you're like, oh, we should have done this. but there's always room for that in the live show. And, you know, potentially maybe on a live record one day, it gives you a little room to be creative and, you know, separate a song from itself in a way. So, it's always different with us. Like every night to night, even, you know, we have different arrangements for different songs. So we just try to keep ourselves and everybody else on their toes.
I wanted to ask you about this because, I mean, from the beginning, basically, you've just been on the road. And that's a pretty big commitment. I mean, especially these days where more and more people are like, no, we want to spend more time at home. So, you know, how did you kind of just commit to that, to like, this is how it's going to be?
It's really, you know, growing up, for me at least, it's all I ever wanted to do. I remember, you know, being 15, 16 years old, seeing, you know, some of the regional touring bands that would come through my area, you know, in the van with the trailer. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to live in the van. I want to eat in the van, sleep in the van, everything. It's always just been where I've enjoyed spending my time. Sure, it's definitely tough being away from family. You know, we just try when we get the opportunities to see family just to make the most of it. And thankfully, you know, really everybody in the van has a very supportive family that sees what we're doing, sees we're working hard, and, you know, has invested in it in some type of way, invested into us, you know, so they kind of understand we're going to be away for a little bit, but we're always going to come back, yeah. You know, and we'll make the best of the time. But for us, I mean, even, you know, when I met Megan, we started in a van very quickly. We moved into an RV because neither of us could afford housing and the road life. So we said, let's just get an RV and live in that. And, you know, so we, you know, wherever it was, whatever town Walmart we were staying in that night was home. So it's kind of just in our blood at this point. It's what all we really know.
So. And we have a very unique situation where, as for us, we do get to do this together. We are married. We just celebrated 3 years married. So we had the very fortunate ability to get to do everything with each other.
Yeah.
So it's obviously not the same for everyone else in the band who have loved ones at home and stuff. But we do have the very fortunate ability to get to do this together.
That's amazing. Yeah. And congratulations on 3 years.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm always, you know, probably is a question you get asked a lot, but I'm always curious about that because I know sometimes spouses don't like work well together. Like they can live together and stuff like that, but you're living and working together. So it had to be something that was obvious from the beginning that, oh yeah, this can work.
Well, that was one of our main things because when we first met, we both had the same drive and desire to chase a dream. You know, that was one thing that we held to a very high standard and making sure that we could do this and that. Never, like especially when we first met and we first like started testing those waters of like, is this going to work? We definitely made sure we could live together. We could be in the same room together for hours on end. I mean, we spent every day together just as friends in the beginning for like, I don't know, a couple months. We spent almost 200 days out on the road. And so we kind of learned very quickly that we can do both. And we found it very easy for us to make the transition into a relationship, into boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, like husband and wife. And it's honest, it's the most incredible thing that we've been blessed with in our lives. Not many people get that opportunity, but for us, the distinction between husband and wife and bandmates comes naturally to us. We are able to make both work in its own capacity.
You know, at this time in live music and stuff, and I know this is a big conversation right now where it's kind of hard out there as people are, you know, just kind of struggling maybe financially. They don't always know what shows to go to and stuff like that. And I'm seeing more and more bands really try to build that relationship with their audience, kind of saying, you know, hey, we appreciate you because you could be doing something else. And we know it's not just a ticket. It's a ticket, babysitters, parking, all of that stuff.
We don't get to go out to see many concerts. And we just went out last week to see the Black Crowes. And by the time you go downtown and park, you have dinner, you have a drink at the concert, you know, it's like, whoa, like we spent an obscene amount of money just on one evening out together. And, you know, not that we have never appreciated it, but it just kind of put into perspective, you know, what it means for some of these people who are coming out sometimes 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 shows in a row, you know what I mean? And following us around the country and coming, seeing us play, it's truly a blessing. And we're so thankful for it. It's, I mean, we wouldn't have the ability to do this if it wasn't for those people coming out, not only buying the ticket, buying the merch, sharing, you know, the stuff on social media, every little bit of it helps more than I think anybody could imagine for a band like us. We are so appreciative of it and truly could not do this if it wasn't for that. So it is such a blessing for us to have those people in our lives.
Now, you're also doing some dates overseas this year, and you've been over before, right?
Yes.
This will be our third trip this year. So we've been very fortunate to be able to go over there. And we went over last summer. Then we went over November with a band called The Damn Truth. And this will be our third time and we'll be headlining. So it'll be pretty crazy to get to go over and do that.
That's amazing. Now that market really kind of appreciates this kind of roots-based rock, American rock, it seems.
They're very willing to try new music, new bands, bands suggested by friends. Like they, from what we've noticed from going over there, it's like, if they've never heard of you, they will at least give you a track, you know, they'll at least go out to the show, they'll see it for themselves. And then they're also very quick to tell their friends. And then next time they bring 10 or 15 people with them. So it's been neat to kind of see how they operate over there, especially with the smaller live music scene. You know, it's not a ton of saturation when it comes to live music over there. So they do invest in the bands that take the time to go over there, especially American based bands. They've just been so kind to us, and we're really, really excited to go back and see them.
It's a lot like what you were talking about here with, there's just so much happening that people really have to be selective about what shows they're going to go and see. Over in the UK, they don't get all of the tours that we get. Not every tour goes over there. So when they do get something, they are so excited about it, and really appreciate a band taking the time and the, you know, financial effort to get over there and tour. So they come out in waves. It's been really cool to see just the sort of cultural difference around concerts there versus here, and even in Europe and in Spain, you know, just, it's all the same, but it's just a little bit different everywhere. So it's neat.
Well, I think there's this appreciation over there of just the fact that you're going to an event, and it's somehow, there's something really special about it that we're really going to give this performer or performers that our attention and soak it all in.
Yeah, I think it's because they've seen it happen. You know, they've seen Zeppelin, they've seen these bands that start from really nothing, and they've seen it just grow and what a committed audience can do. And they kind of have birthed some of the greats in the rock and roll history. So I think they have a good track record.
Yeah. So when you are off the road, is that kind of, you know, I think a lot of people would find it weird to be in a vehicle moving all day. When you're like in Nashville and you're just like in on the street or something, is that for you kind of weird? Like,
it's definitely taken us a long time to figure out how to do the downtime thing. Usually, you know, if we get off the road, I mean, there's been times that we'll be out for like, you know, 3 months at a time, you know, and when we get home those first couple of days, it's nice to just be still and rest. And then usually after the first 2 or 3 days, it's like, you know, what are we going to do with ourselves? And, you know, recently over the last, I'd say, year or so, you know, Megan and I, we've gotten pretty involved in our church back home, and that's been really good for us, and finding positive ways to spend our time off and ways that are feeding our souls and filling our cup. So that's been really good for us. That's really kind of opened up a new door and some new friendships when we're home, so that we're not just sort of stagnant, sitting on the couch watching TV, eating bonbons, whatever whatever you do. But yeah, that's really been something new for us. That's kind of changed our outlook on that time off. And, you know, we love being out on the road. It is truly our passion, but we have now found something to love when we're home too. So that's been really good for us.
You've been listening to a conversation with Megan Kane and Dylan Turner of Parker Barrow. You can learn more about the band at weareparkerbarrow.com. The group's new LP, Hold the Mash, is out July 17th. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org, and find all the latest programming notes on that website as well. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time, and as always, we'd like to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torrin Anderson.